Welcome to worship on this week beginning the 24th of January. I hope that you and those that you love and care for are keeping safe, sane and well in these strange days that we continue to live through. As an online worship team, it's a joy and a privilege for us to bring worship to you week by week. And our team has grown a little, and we welcome Paul Schooler and Fiona McBride onto the team. And I know that Fiona has been involved in the editing of our worship this week. Let's prepare now to worship God together. The Lord our God calls us to worship, to raise our hearts, minds, and voices to the Holy One. Come, praise the Lord, all you people. Offer this time to the one who calls you by name. We worship God together now.
Our first reading today is from Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and verse 10. Nineveh repents. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Go now and denounce it in the words I give you. Jonah obeyed at once and went to Nineveh. He began by going a day's journey into the city, a vast city, 3 days' journey across, and then proclaimed, "In 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown." The people of Nineveh believed God's word. They ordered a public fast and put on sackcloth high and low alike. God saw what they did and how they abandoned their wicked ways, and he repented and did not bring upon them the disaster he had threatened. Our next reading today is from Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God. After John had been arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. The time has come, the kingdom of God upon you. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he saw Simon and his brother Andrew on the lake at work with a casting net, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. When they had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in a boat overhauling their nets. He called them, and leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, they went off to follow him. May God add his blessings to these readings from his own most holy word.
Thank you to Mike Lacey for bringing the readings to us this morning, and indeed thank you to all of those who have brought readings during our online worship. Two readings this morning, one from the book of Jonah in the Old Testament and one from Mark's Gospel in the New Testament. And there's something in common in both of these readings. There's a miracle at the heart of both of these readings. In Jonah, we read of his calling to proclaim God's word to the Ninevites. And as we read there in Jonah, it tells us that the Ninevites believed God, and not only they believe, but they acted on that belief by fasting and showing repentance. The miracle at the heart of God's work, bringing transformation into people's lives. And then in Mark's Gospel, John is found proclaiming the good news. What is that good news? Well, that good news is that Jesus invites us to see things differently and therefore to live differently in our lives. In his works, the Gospel of Mark, William Barclay comments on what it means to believe. And this is what he writes. Believe in the good news. To believe in the good news simply means to take Jesus at his word. To believe that God is the kind of God that Jesus told us about. To believe that God so loves the world that he will make any sacrifice to bring us back to himself. To believe that what sounds too good to be true really is true. And as Jesus proclaims that good news, a miracle happens. He comes to ordinary men going about their daily work, and he calls them to follow. And Mark tells us that they follow immediately, without delay. That is a miracle in itself, that encounter with this one Jesus brings such an immediate response. Without delay, they followed. And in that following, they find there is a new purpose to their lives. They were fishermen, that's what they knew best, that's what they understood. And so Jesus uses that picture to help them think about this new purpose. As he speaks to them of catching people and not fish. It's an interesting idea of catching people. If you were listening last week, you would have heard us speaking about the invitation to come and see Jesus. And here this week, the invitation is to follow this Jesus, to see what he is doing and how he is doing these things, and for that to have an impact on the way that we see the world and the way that we do things, in the way that we live. Into the unknown, taking a risk, a new normal. How do I know what the future will be like? Can I trust myself to move on, leaving behind everything I've known and stepping out into what? Still, I hear his call, follow me. The simplicity of the call, follow me. And all I can do is trust him and step out into the unknown. As you look back over your life, you will be able to trace your experience of faith and of what it has meant to you to believe the good news. Or maybe you're just beginning to discover this message and considering that there could be good news in the message of Jesus Christ, in his life and his teaching, his death and his resurrection. Sometimes, though, the call can be something we are a little bit reticent about, because in the call forward, there are things that we need to leave behind. And in the call forward in faith, we are unsure of what the future holds. But the certainty lies in the one in whom we place our trust. Writer Dallas Willard has said, discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. Isn't that an interesting way of thinking of what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus? Let me leave you with these words of reflection as we think of that idea of being called to follow. Lord, I had no idea that you might mean me. I have heard how you called others, but I never expected you would call me. I have read how you called Abraham, Moses, Jeremiah, and the prophets, but I did not think you would speak my name. But you have spoken, and I am trying to listen and respond. Lord, I had assumed that when you called, it would be in a clear, unmistakable voice. I had hoped that if a call to serve ever came, there would be no doubt or uncertainty. Those who spoke of your call always seemed so definite. But your voice to me seems only a faint whisper, an echo that I strain to understand. Lord, I knew that you called the most unlikely of men and women to serve you in the most unlikely of ways. And yet I feel that my gifts are so few. I feel so unworthy and extremely uncertain. Can you really mean me? Lord, your challenge rejects all my excuses, and your promise to equip gives me hope. Lord, I don't really want to be called, but then you already knew that when you touched my heart and mind. You knew I would have my reasons just to say no. I am quite comfortable as I am and where I am. In all honesty, I don't want to change or be changed. But neither can I ignore you, nor can I ever be at peace until I let you disturb me. And I say, however weakly, yes, Lord. So, Lord, I say yes. Yes, not knowing what yes means. Yes, wishing I could say no. Yes, knowing I must trust you in a way I have never trusted you before. Yes, not knowing the cost or what will be demanded of me. Yes, knowing I'm saying yes to the one who in Christ always says yes to me. Come, follow me, says Jesus. Amen.